Did you know that love comes with limits?
Join us on today's episode of Wake Up with Hope as a parenting place explains this concept.
We will also have another healthy recipe to share with you, and Dr. John Peckham returns with his series on knowing God.
Come join us. Good morning, friends. It's Thursday, April 4th, and we are excited to be waking up with you as we wake up with hope.
Amen. That is so true. And on this spring morning, we want to plant flowers of joy in your heart as you experience the love of Jesus.
Did you know that today is International Carrot Day?
Carrots are so good for us. Here are a fun few facts about carrots that you may not know. Carrots help promote healthy vision.
That's right.
They're also good for weight loss.
Yep. And they improve skin health.
They improve our immunity.
And they are good for your bones.
Yes, they are. And they're also good for oral health.
Yes.
I hadn't thought about that one before.
And they actually help your heart as well.
So, we can go ahead and enjoy some carrots today.
That's
then,
right. Bake them into a cake. Crunch them with some delicious sauce or enjoy them in juice.
Our son
Elijah. He makes carrot juice all the time.
He loves it. And so healthy. Well, God has given us so many incredible wonders. And actually, now that it's April, most people in America can now start to plant carrots in their gardens.
That sounds fun. So we hope that you can enjoy God's nature today, friends. And most of all, we want you to experience His love. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1968, tragedy struck as civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was fatally shot just after 6 p.m. While standing on the balcony outside his second-story room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, King, who was in Memphis to support a sanitation workers' strike, was on his way to dinner when a bullet struck him in the jaw, severing his spinal cord. Despite being rushed to a Memphis hospital, King was pronounced dead shortly after his arrival. He was 39 years old. Dr. Martin Luther King was a man who made a profound difference in the world and is also known for sharing many insightful thoughts and words. One of his most famous quotes is, "I know that love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems."
You know, love truly is the only answer to mankind's problems, but it is only true love as expressed by God. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we find the most powerful verse of what God's love ultimately came down to. You see, God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son for humanity to be saved. You know, and as we dwell upon the love of God and His incredible sacrifice for us, we will find that truly of all our problems that we have, each one of them can be solved as we surrender them to the feet of Jesus.
Amen. It's now time for inspiring music to uplift our souls this morning.
So alive.
Potatoes offer numerous health benefits due to their rich nutrient content. They are packed with essential vitamins, including vitamin C and various B vitamins, along with minerals like potassium and magnesium. As a good source of carbohydrates, potatoes provide energy for the body. This morning, we're cooking oven-roasted potatoes to help you find a way to make this amazing vegetable a regular part of your diet.
Today, I want to show you how I make oven-roasted potatoes. We're going to use russet potatoes for this recipe, and we're going to try to cube each one of them. We want to keep the pieces somewhat similar in size so that everything bakes evenly. Towards the end, we've got some, it gets a little thinner, so we cut them a little longer. And this is about the size we're kind of looking for these, so that, again, everything will cook evenly. And we can add however many we want. These potatoes are great for various types of recipes. You can use like smoked paprika and other Mexican flavors to use it in like a Mexican dish or just your traditional oven roasted potatoes too. Do a couple more here. All right, let's add one more to this. And I like to use the knife, cut it in half, and then once you've got it cut in half, you can lay the flat side down so that it's not rolling around on you and there's less of a chance of the knife slipping, and then always keeping everything pressed and keeping fingers back out of the way of the blade. If they're out of the way of the blade, they won't get chopped. Okay, so we've got all of our potatoes diced up, spread them around nice, and we're going to use grapeseed oil on this. It does a little better under high heat, so that's why I like to use grapeseed oil. And then we'll put some nutritional yeast flakes on it. Just kind of a dusting on top. That's a good way, if you're not measuring things, which certain things like this, I don't care to measure. Using your hand and your feel for it will give your dish that personalized kind of flavor. Got also some onion powder. This one we can use fairly liberally. The flavor is really nice, but whenever it comes to the garlic powder, just kind of go a little easier on it. The flavor can be a little overpowering. And then we'll put some dried parsley in there, some nice color. I like to also use Italian seasoning or dried basil, dried oregano. Those also have nice flavors for these. And then one of the most important ingredients is potatoes don't have any salt, so we gotta add the salt to add the flavor. It's hard to say exactly how much. Again, sprinkle it on there, and then you're gonna toss it around. Everything needs to have enough oil on it to kind of cover it. You don't necessarily need a pool of it in the bottom, but enough so that everything gets a little bit coated and it doesn't stick to our pan. And to check and make sure you have enough salt in it, I usually like taste your finger and wash it. You can tell if you have enough salt then, but we're not gonna do that this time. I've got a pretty good feeling this is how it is. All right, got these in our baking dish. You can use a baking sheet or a dish like this is nice. It's got rolled edges so that when you go to stir it later, toss them around, nothing gets thrown on the floor. We'll take these and put them in the oven at 400 degrees for like 30 minutes total, about halfway through. Toss them around with a spatula. We want nice browned edges on all the sides, and then the insides will be nice and tender.
So I just got our oven roasted potatoes out of the oven. We cubed them up, seasoned them, make sure you use enough salt, and baked them at 400 degrees for 30 minutes. I can tell that they're done. We've got some brown on them. That's the best part. And another good way to tell is if you use a fork, it stabs right into them. If they're not quite done yet, that fork won't give as easy. Try to find the biggest potato in there. That's your key indicator.
Love has limits. What are they? The Parenting Place joins us now as they share important parenting tips on love and limits.
What's the most important thing in your child's world? Well, obviously, it's their social media account. Actually, no, it's you, of course. You're the most important thing, even if some of the time it doesn't feel like it. Absolutely never underestimate how important you are. And because of that, you need to look after yourself. You know, parenting is not a sprint. You're not running a 100-meter race. You're actually running a really long marathon. Some might say an ultra marathon. So it's important to gather the support and the tools you need to last the distance, to stay fresh, to stay healthy, if possible, to even stay enthusiastic so you don't run out of steam. So there's lots of different things you could do to make sure you look after yourself. For me personally, I try and find some time, it's quite hard, but some time for me to go for a run, or even better, spending time with friends is really good for me, and I can bring that energy back to my family to be the husband or to be the father that they deserve.
Are you enjoying today's program? Well, don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
Friends, we're delighted to spend this morning with you. We have to take a short break, but first we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
Hey, Doc, I'm sure my liver is packing up. I read something on the web that the skin starts getting yellow with liver disease.
Let's have a little look. No, I don't see any discoloration.
Well, then it must be my kidneys, for I read on the web that kidney problems can cause muscle problems. Just look.
A little puny, but otherwise fine.
Well, then it must be my pancreas, because...
You read it on the web, right?
Yeah, that's right, Doc. Is it serious?
Yeah, you could have stomach disease and die.
Oh, no, I knew it was bad.
Or it's a severe case of hypochondria.
Oh no, hypochondria? It's worse than cancer, isn't it? How long do I have?
Well, I have seen cancer patients with a good attitude do better than those with a poor attitude.
Oh, attitude? What does attitude have to do with it?
Well, you see, our mind has a powerful influence over our body. And if we think we're sick, our body will respond and we'll get sick.
So if I forget my aches and pains and cheerfully go about my day?
Then you'll start feeling better and you'll actually get better.
But Doc, I wanted to give you my organ recital. It's entitled Stinking Thinking and Rotten Reasoning. Want to hear it?
No.
My stomach hurts. My liver is packing up. My eyes are not working.
Oh, you know, we all have aches and pains. But what you need to do is do as much exercise as you can, live life to the fullest, and choose to be happy despite those challenges. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for being here.
It's now time for our exclusive series on Knowing God with Dr. John Beckham.
My toy cabin I built out of Lincoln logs was a masterpiece. Or so it seemed to me as I sat in my grandmother's living room as a young child. As I stood up to show it off, I lost my balance, began to fall, and while trying to keep from falling, I accidentally stepped on the log cabin my sister was building, breaking her cabin into pieces. My sister ran to Grandma, complaining that I'd destroyed her cabin. Not realizing it was an accident, Grandma gave her permission to knock my cabin over, and my sister gleefully did so. I was angry, not just because my little log cabin was destroyed, but because I'd been blamed and punished for an accident. In my mind, this was profoundly unjust. So I took matters into my own hands. I went outside and knocked over every piece of my grandma's outdoor furniture in her yard to get even. Boy, did I regret that later. I had overreacted, to say the least. My anger got the best of me, and I'd lost my temper. Human anger is very often like that. Unrighteous, self-serving, and over the top. God's anger, however, is very, very different. Yet some believe that since God is love, he should never be angry. Is that true? Is love always contrary to anger? If so, what about the biblical stories that speak of God's anger or wrath? Perhaps you have heard the claim that the so-called Old Testament God is a God of wrath, but the so-called New Testament God is a God of love. Is that true? No. It is true that the New Testament consistently teaches that God is love. However, it is a myth that the Old Testament God is a God of wrath in contrast to the New Testament God. The so-called Old Testament God is the same as the New Testament God. Let me say that again. The so-called Old Testament God is the same as the New Testament God. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament consistently teach that God is love. As Psalm 86, verse 15 puts it, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." Now, some mistakenly think God is perpetually angry in the Old Testament. But paying close attention to the storyline of Scripture shows long ages between instances where God brought judgment. And during those long ages between judgments, God did everything he could to restore and save his people. Thus, the prophets describe God as exceedingly long-suffering, exceedingly merciful beyond all reasonable expectations. While people today, especially in the Western world, tend to ask why God brought judgment, the biblical authors repeatedly asked why God did not bring judgment more swiftly and more often to reestablish justice. The Old Testament God and the New Testament God are the same. Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate display of what God is like, perfectly loving. And he himself proclaimed, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." But doesn't the Bible speak of God's anger or wrath? What about that? How is that consistent with love? I say much more about this in my book, God With Us. For now, let me ask you to imagine you have a beloved child, and you're watching that child playing on a swing set. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, a man appears and knocks your child off the swing and starts kicking your child repeatedly. Wouldn't you be angry? If not, there's something wrong with you. If you love your child, such an evil attack would anger you with rightful anger, what we call righteous indignation. When someone becomes angry for all the right reasons. Should not God also be angry when evil attacks his children? God hates sin because sin always harms at least one of his children, even when it is self-inflicted. And how many people are God's children? In the broadest sense, everyone. So every instance of sin and evil hurts at least one child God loves, even when it is self-inflicted. Sin and evil anger God precisely because God is love. God could not be perfectly good and loving if he did not hate sin and evil. Yet the injustice in this playground story is dwarfed by the great evil humans have committed against one another over the ages, including all kinds of atrocities like child sacrifice. Precisely because God loves deeply, God is deeply pained by evil. Now, earlier, I highlighted that the ultimate revelation of God in human history is found in Jesus himself. Anyone who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. And Jesus himself provides the ultimate manifestation of divine love. Yet because Jesus loves deeply, the evils in the world provoke him to intense but always appropriate anger. Because Jesus loves so deeply and is always and only good, Jesus became angry at the temple in Jerusalem. His anger there was righteous indignation. Why? What happened? Matthew 21, verses 12 through 13 tells us, Jesus drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, declaring they were making God's house a den of thieves. The very place that was to represent God's gracious forgiveness and cleansing of repentant sinners was being used to exploit and oppress the most vulnerable, exchanging people's money into the standard coinage for an additional fee, causing a hardship to the poor. It is no coincidence, then, that the language Jesus uses draws on Jeremiah 7, which emphasizes to not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow. Christ's righteous indignation against those who were making God's house a den of thieves was an expression of his love for the downtrodden and oppressed. Indignation against evil and compassion for the downtrodden is the proper reaction of righteous love. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, throughout the entire Bible, the anger expressed by God is simply the righteous response of love against evil, because evil always harms at least one person God loves, even when it is self-inflicted. Now, some think a God of love should not become angry, that love and wrath are incompatible. But Scripture paints a very different picture, teaching that divine wrath is just the appropriate response of love against evil. Now, human anger is often incompatible with love. That's true. God's righteous indignation, however, is different. Human anger often overreacts, but God's anger is always the perfect response of love against evil, for the good of everyone concerned. I mean, what kind of love would not be angered by the abhorrent suffering that humans inflict on one another? It is actually good news that God becomes angry at evil, because it displays both God's justice and his love. We can be confident that he cares, and he will make all things right in the end. So the next time you think of God's wrath, do not envision the vindictive villain, but envision instead the mother mourning the harm done to her children. God's anger at sin is grounded in his love for us, and everything God does is always loving.
Amen. Thank you, John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow, friends. We will be featuring a story on General Douglas MacArthur. We'll also have music by Gisela Kroll, health news, and a devotional by Pastor Mark Finley. Make sure to join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. And of course, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise, and it's found in Job chapter 9, verse 10.
It says, "He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number."
You know, friends, even when we cannot fully understand God's ways, we can trust that He is continually working wonders beyond our imagination. And today, take comfort in knowing that God's power and goodness extends far beyond our understanding, and His love for us is boundless. What a blessed promise.
It is. It surely is. And we enjoyed spending this time with you this morning. We pray that Jesus will bless you in all that you do today.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a God who wants to be known. You reveal your amazing character of love to us. And today, Lord, we're overwhelmed by your goodness. And we pray that as we go about our day, that we would continuously be reminded of how good you are. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.